Sir, you have done enough and have performed a saint-like sorrow. No fault could you make which you have not redeemed, indeed paid down more penitence than done trespass. At the last, do as the heavens have done, forget your evil. With them, forgive yourself.
Whilst I remember her and her virtues, I cannot forget my blemishes in them. And so still think of the wrong I did myself, which was so much that ere less it hath made my kingdom and destroyed the sweetest companion that ere man bred his hopes out of.
True. Too true, my lord. If one by one you wedded all the world, or from the all that are took something good to make a perfect woman, she you killed would be unparalleled.
I think so. Killed. She I killed. I did so, but thou strik'st me sorely to say I did. It is as bitter upon thy tongue as in my thought. Now, good now, say so, but seldom.
Not at all, good lady. You might have spoken a thousand things that would have done the time more benefit and graced your kindness better.
You are one of those would have him wed again.
If you would not so, you pity not the state nor the remembrance of his most sovereign name. Consider little what dangers by his highness' fail of issue may drop upon his kingdom and devour in certain lookers-on. What were more holy than to rejoice the former queen is well? What holier than, for royalty's repair, for present comfort and for future good, to bless the bed of majesty again with a sweet fellow to it?
There is none worthy respecting her that's gone. Besides, the gods will have fulfilled their secret purposes. For hath not the divine Apollo said, is not the tenor of his oracle, that King Leontes shall not have an heir till his lost child be found? Which that it shall is all as monstrous to our human reason as my Antigonus to break his grave, who on my life did perish with the infant. 'Tis your counsel my lord should to the heavens be contrary, oppose against their wills. Care not for issue, the crown will find an heir. Great Alexander left his to the worthiest, so his successor was like to be the best.
Good Paulina, who hast the memory of Hermione, I know, in honor. Oh, that ever I had squared me to thy counsel. Then, even now, I might have looked upon my queen's full eyes, have taken treasure from her lips,
and left them more rich for what they yielded.
Thou speak'st truth. No more such wives. Therefore, no wife. One worse and better used would make her sainted spirit again possess her corpse, and on this stage where we offenders now appear soul vexed, and begin why to me?
Had she such power, she had just cause.
She had, and would incense me to murder her I married.
I should so. Were I the ghost that walked, I'd bid you mark her eye, and tell me for what dull partint you chose her. Then I'd shriek that even your ears should rift to hear me, and the words that followed should be, remember mine.
Stars, stars, and all eyes else dead coals. Fear thou no wife. I'll have no wife, Paulina.
Will you swear never to bear it but by my free leave?
Never, Paulina. So be blessed my spirit.
And good my lords, bear witness to his oath.
You tempt him overmuch.
Unless another, as like Hermione as is her picture, affront his eye.
Good madam.
I have done. Yet if my lord will marry, if you will, sir, no remedy but you will, give me the office to choose you a queen. She shall not be so young as was your former, but she shall be such as walked your first queen's ghost. It should take joy to see her in your arms.
My true Paulina, we shall not marry till thou bidst us.
That shall be when your first queen's again in breath, never till then.
One that gives out himself, Prince Florizel, son of Polixenes, with his princess, she the fairest I have yet beheld, desires access to your high presence.
What with him? He comes not like to his father's greatness. His approach, so out of circumstance and sudden, tells us 'tis not a visitation framed, but forced by need and accident. What train?
But few, and those but mean.
His princess, say you, with him?
Aye. The most peerless piece of earth, I think, that e'er the sun shone bright on.
Ah, Hermione, as every present time doth boast itself above a better gone, so must thy grave give way to what's seen now. Sir, you yourself have said and writ so, but your writing now is colder than their theme. She had not been, nor was not, to be equaled. Thus your verse flowed with her beauty at once. 'Tis shrewdly ebbed to say you have seen a better.
Pardon, madam, the one I have almost forgot. Your pardon. The other, when she has obtained your eye, will have your tongue too. This is a creature, would she begin a sect, might quench the zeal of all professors else, make proselytes of who she but bid follow.
How? Not women?
Women will love her, that she is a woman more worth than any man. Men, that she is the rarest of all women.
Go, Cleomenes, yourself assisted with your honored friends, bring them to our embracement. Still, 'tis strange he thus should steal upon us.
Had our prince, jewel of children, seen this hour, he had paired well with this lord. There was not a full month between their births.
Prithee, no more. Cease. Thou knowest he dies to me again when talked of. Sure, when I shall see this gentleman, thy speeches will bring me to consider that which may unfurnish me of reason. Your mother was most true to wedlock, prince, for she did print your royal father off conceiving you. Were I but 21, your father's image is so hit in you, his very heir, that I should call you brother as I did him, and speak of something wildly by us performed before. Most dearly welcome. Fair princess, goddess. Oh, alas, I lost a couple that twixt heaven and earth might thus have stood begetting wonder, as you gracious couple do. And then I lost all mine own folly, the society, amity too of your brave father, whom, though bearing misery, I desire my life once more to look on him.
By his command have I here touched Cecilia. And from him give you all greetings that a king and friend can send his brother. And but infirmity, which waits upon worn times, hath something seized his wished ability. He had himself the land and waters twixt your throne and his measured to look upon you. Whom he loves, he bade me say so, more than all the scepters and those that bear them living.
Oh, my brother, good gentleman. The wrongs I have done thee stir afresh within me. And these thy offices, so rarely kind, are as interpreters of my behindhand slackness. Welcome hither, as is the spring to the earth. And hath he too exposed this paragon to the fearful usage, at least ungentle, of the dreadful Neptune, to greet a man not worth her pains, much less the adventure of her person?
Good my lord, she came from Libya.
Where the warlike Smalus, that noble honored lord, is feared and loved?
Most royal sir, from thence. From him whose daughter his tears proclaimed his, parting with her. Thence, a prosperous south wind friendly, we have crossed to execute the charge my father gave me for visiting your highness. My best train I have from your Sicilian shores dismissed, who for Bohemia bend to signify not only my success in Libya, sir, but my arrival and my wife's in safety here where we are.
The blessed gods purge all infection from our air whilst you do climb it here. You have a holy father, a graceful gentleman against whose person, so sacred as it is, I have done sin. for which the heavens, taking angry note, have left me issueless, and your father's blessed, as he from heaven merits it, with you worthy his goodness. What might I have been, might I, a son and daughter, now have looked on such goodly things as you?
Most noble sir, that which I shall report will bear no credit, were not the proof so nigh. Please you, great sir, Bohemia greets you from himself by me, desires you to attach his son, who has his dignity and duty both cast off, fled from his father, from his hopes, and with a shepherd's daughter.
Where's Bohemia? Speak.
Here in your city. I now came from him. I speak amazedly, and it becomes my marvel and my message. To your court, whilst he was hastening, in the chase, it seems, of this fair couple, meets he on the way the father of this seeming lady, and her brother, having both their country quitted, with this young prince.
Camillo has betrayed me, whose honor and whose honesty till now endured all weathers.
Late so to his charge, he's with the king, your father.
Who? Camillo?
Camillo, sir. I spake with him, who now has these poor men in question. Never saw I wretches so quick. They kneel, they kiss the earth, forswear themselves as often as they speak. Bohemia stops his ears and threatens them with divers deaths in death.
Oh, my poor father. The heavens set spies upon us, will not have our contract celebrated.
You are married?
We are not, sir, nor are we like to be. The stars, I see, will kiss the valleys first. The odds for high and lows alike.
My lord, is this the daughter of a king?
She is, when once she is my wife.
That once, I see, by your good father's speed will come on very slowly. I am sorry, most sorry, that you have broken from his liking where you were tied in beauty. And as sorry, your choice is not so rich in worth as beauty, that you might well enjoy her.
Dear, look up. Though fortune, visible an enemy, should chase us with my father, power no jot hath she to change our loves. Beseech you, sir, remember, since you owed no more to time than I do now, with thought of such affections, step forth, mine advocate. At your request, my father will grant precious things as trifles.
Would he do so? I beg your precious mistress, which he counts but a trifle.
Sir, my liege, your eye hath too much youth in't. Not a month before your queen died. She was worth more such gazes than what you look on now.
I thought of her, even in these looks I made. But your petition is yet unanswered. I will to your father. Your honor not overthrown by your desires, I am friend to them and you. Upon which errand I now go toward him, therefore follow me, and mark what way I make. Come, good my lord.